they plotting. So many hustle for the cash, so it's hard to knock it. Everybody got their own thing, currency chasing worldwide through the hard times, worrying faces.
Yes, God bless you, community family, and welcome to Gang Talk with Skip Townsend and his sister Heron. You know, if you've been following us, we spend this very important time with our community every Thursday at 6 o'clock because it is important. And we need to recognize how important it is for our own people. So God bless you once again and welcome to this hour. And as usual, we always start by thanking Skip for being our co-host. And before he speaks, I just want to tell you that he's the hardest working man I know in this arena. And Skip, in his recovery, has not let any moss grow under his feet. He's out and about. He moves around so much, doing everything he can to try to help us wake up and find a way to help ourselves and, more importantly, help our own children. So God bless you, Skip, and thank you for who you are and what you do.
Well, thank you, Sister Heron, and I think, as you were saying, that it's obedience. I am obedient to God, and yeah, that is simple as that. So that's why I
And he's working you, too.
Yes,
he's
he
leading you to things. Yes. I mean,
yes,
look,
indeed.
You was out in Calabasas last week.
Right. So that was domestic violence, batters intervention training. So it was 4 days, and it was just a struggle to get here on time. So yeah, I didn't want to
No, it's not about that. It's the fact that you were doing so much.
Right.
That these are the places that need to share the news you're bringing with you. So,
right,
you know, we miss you when you're not here, but, you know, God has a way of working things out, and the beauty about it is where he's taking you.
Right.
And the things that he's leading you to do. So,
yes, indeed,
we're
sister.
Grateful about
well,
that.
I'm truly grateful. I give all honor and praise to God. I'm truly glad to be alive. As you say, recovery. I have definitely been spiritually dead. You know, the little boy in the sixth sense says, I see dead people.
Yes.
And then he said that, and some of them don't know they did.
They don't know they did.
And I was one of them who didn't know I was dead. I was disconnected.
Yeah.
So truly grateful for God for giving me the second chance and being able to share my life with others and to be of assistance to other people. So,
absolutely.
And thank you for having me as a co-host on the show.
Thank you for being available for it, you know, because everybody's not prepared to talk about this. And the worst enemy working against us is our own apathy.
Right.
The apathy of our own community members, and they need to hang their heads.
Right.
They really do, because these are our children. It's about their children's safety and future, too.
Yeah.
And it's about the black man's image.
Yes, indeed.
And we were just talking about that briefly before we came on the air. I don't want to jump ahead because we were discussing the post that's going around Facebook about that officer in Cobb County that said that they only shoot black people.
Right. Well, sister, before we get into that, you had guests last week, and if we could get them a shout out, a thank you for showing up. And,
that is usually how we do it, and I have to put my glasses on so I can see. And it was such an excellent panel, and we have Max Shorty to thank for them coming. We had over here in your seat Michelle Irving, and she's a minister.
I know Michelle.
Okay,
yes,
Michelle
indeed.
Was in your seat.
Yes, indeed.
We had Dawu over
Dawu,
here.
I know Dawu.
Mm-hmm.
Dawu Sherrill.
Yes.
Yes,
we
indeed.
Had, who was next to Dawu?
Bow Wow.
Bow Wow.
Bow
That's
Wow.
Right. Bow Wow was
Marlo
here.
Marlo
Jones.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
Bow Wow was here last week. I was so happy to see
you. Oh, you had the crew. You had a panel.
We had a panel.
Yes, indeed.
Look, we had a panel. And next to Bow Wow was Rico.
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 Garden.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
indeed. Coach.
Yeah.
That's Coach Rico from Bourbon Day.
Yes. He sat in the middle. And over here we had Keith
Wilkerson.
Keith Wilkerson.
Kiki.
Wait, Kiki.
Tall brother, about 6'5", light skin.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all might got
my peer.
Mm-hmm.
My peer. He's an older man, older gentleman.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And then over here we had Jacqueline Badejo.
Badaggio.
I knew I wasn't
saying
that right.
Oh, I know Kiki, too. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, because I thought
Kiki
about you.
Kiki just came back from Vegas.
Yes.
He was living in Vegas for a minute.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
Indeed. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought about you because
these
you,
are the Nickersons too.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
You go everywhere, Skip,
yes,
so you
indeed.
Know everybody. You
thank
know
God for Skip. Skip is all over LA.
Yeah, he has a license to operate in everybody's neighborhood. You know, that's something I grew up with. I was able to go in everybody's neighborhood as a child without any fear.
Right.
So to
and you said Jackie?
One of my board
Jackie.
Members. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, young lady, powerful in the community, doing the work, and like yourself, Skip. You know, we're grateful for you as a co-host because.
Wait a minute! Before you speak, I didn't thank you.
Oh yeah.
Because you put the panel together last week, and we had so many folks in here that you sat over here on the floor off camera next to me. So I want to thank you for putting that panel together and coming yourself and putting. Asked he put in the most important question last. That was you, Mac. So
well, I just want to thank
introduce
Gang Talk.
Yourself,
yeah. I'm Mac Shorty, Watts, California, chairman of the board, honorary mayor. I just want to thank Gang Talk Radio for allowing my community to come as a voice and be heard. I want to thank you and Skip for your friendship. My pastor always raise me and train me. In order to have friends, you must show yourself to be friendly to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank you all for your friendship. And I want to thank this young man sitting next to me, my good friend Pastor Murchison, who I brought on tonight with me. We're going to really get down to solutions to a community's problems.
You want to introduce yourself? He did to give your name, but go ahead and introduce yourself.
Well, thank you so much. I'm happy to be here, Brother Townsend and Sister Sharon and Brother Mac. I appreciate the opportunity to be here on Gang Talk. I'm Pastor Marcus Murchison, pastor of the Tree of Life Missionary Baptist Church in the city of Watts. We have a CDC called Watts Up, and that's where we do a lot of our community interaction. So I'm, again, just
well, where is the church at, brother?
9702 Holmes Avenue.
All right.
9702 Holmes. Yes, sir.
And you might remember that was a church, the famous Tree of Life Baptist Church was famous for their choir.
Yes, sir.
And the minister, Reverend Billy Ray.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Used to travel the country with children from Watts.
The voices of Watts.
All right. Voices of Watts.
Yes,
sir.
Well, God bless you, and thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
You know, we had a very intense show last week.
Oh, yes.
The anger, and I'm not as angry as I was then, but the friction, the discord was about what had been happening at Nickerson over the past 2 weeks prior to the show.
Yes,
they
ma'am.
Had a block party in which Zach Johnson.
Zach Randolph.
Randolph, I'm sorry.
Right. NBA player.
Randolph, sorry. NBA player was arrested on... in the unbelievable charge that the community just laughed at. But what was so upsetting was the tremendous police response to that.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
There were so many cars, black and whites out there. It looked like a siege. Mm-hmm. It looked like a siege. So we were very concerned about it because it was a disrupt of a community event that was planned, and now we have an NBA player who's coming into the neighborhood bringing goodwill, and he's at the center of the story, and he's the one that gets arrested.
Right.
Okay, and charged with coming to Nickerson to sell weed.
Right.
Really? That's right. All that basketball player has to do with his life is come to Nickerson and sell weed.
You know, sister, one of the things that gets me is when we look at the budget of the city of Los Angeles, probably the second greatest, biggest city in the United States, and 70% of the budget goes to public safety. And when I say that, I'm not talking about fire department and police.
Yeah.
70% go to the police
department,
directly to the police department. It's over $1 billion. When I first, 12 years ago, when I got into this work, they were at close to $1 billion, but now they're $1.2 billion. So what does that tell the people of the city when we talk about how many resources that show up? And they're constantly saying they need more police officers, they need more money. But I think it's a abuse of our taxpaying dollars to even have the response that the police give in situations where there's no lives in danger. Just to show up, you know, 12 to 14 officers for every one or two individuals they're dealing with is a, really an abuse of power and abuse of economic resources that the city can use in other places.
And what it shows is a disregard for the community they're serving, because where is the communication?
Yeah.
Where is the communication? Where is the give us a chance part. We have a better working relationship. There should have been somebody out there representing law enforcement to say, hey, we have a concern here. Who do I speak to get this resolved?
I think, sister, that we need to remind them that we live here.
There it is.
And they work here.
That's right.
And like I told officers in my community, I don't believe the city of Los Angeles should give anyone we employ a right to say and choose where they want to work. Mm-hmm. We pay you a salary, you go and you respect whoever it is we asking you to protect and to serve, and you don't get comfortable.
Well, what were we just saying before we came on the air? What would it? Come on, tell
well,
our community
Watts,
what
you know, as a citizen in Watts, Watts is surrounded by four major housing projects. You have Gunzac Village to the east. You got
can I translate real quick? That's Hacienda, y'all.
Hacienda. Okay. Yeah, well, they changed it to honor Miss Gunzac,
yes,
who was on the board. Then you got Nickerson Gardens to the west in Hacienda Village. And to the east, you have Imperial Courts in Jordan Downs. Mm-hmm. In that community of Watts, which is 2.12 miles, we are spending to the tune for policing 10 officers and one sergeant in each housing development. Last time I checked with Housing Authority, it was the tune of $1.5 million
per year.
Per year, yes.
Right. On top of what the city is already putting into the community.
The point you're making is that they make a whole lot of money for just being what they are, who they are, and what they're here to do. So they're not broke. They're not poor.
No.
They're not begging for funds. They're asking for them. But they're not begging.
No.
Okay, and our conversation, because it got pretty heated. I was really upset about the party and the NBA player. And then the following week, the sheriff shot a young man. And we still don't know why.
That was the second shooting. Last year, we had the same incident over in Nickerson Gardens, where a young man under 21 years old lost his life.
He was the first in the four that happened in the next 3 months.
Yes,
he was the first
was
one, but they killed three more within 3 month time, and that's what our frustration was. They killed all four of those men. All four of them were under 21 years old, and then they shut the door.
And I think that's the reason why I offered to bring Pastor Murchison. Him and I have a relationship that I feel like when the need arises for situations like this, there's a point where the church must step in.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm asking my good friend to come up tonight, because we need mediation.
Mm-hmm.
Folks don't need to run around hurt.
Right.
Because hurt turns into anger. Anger turns into hate.
Mm-hmm.
And then before you know it, we have a community on fire, and I'm not asking and looking for that.
Look, I went through those three emotions last week just talking to you. Look, hurt, anger, emotional. Look, it's not just a community. It's all of us, people of color. We see there's something wrong in our scenario. There's something just wrong. And really what I was talking about was that officer that said that we just kill black people.
Yeah.
Yeah, lady, you ain't got to worry about me shooting you, because we just shoot black people.
And I think that was a Caucasian woman. He was making a statement.
Yes, I think she, Caucasian or Hispanic.
Yes, but she was afraid for her life.
Yeah,
when she was
afraid.
Approached.
Yeah, he was telling her she could go ahead and use her cell phone to call whoever she needed, because it was a drunk driver. Her driver was drunk. That's why he pulled her over, and he's allowing the passenger to call somebody, apparently to pick her up or whatever, and she doesn't want to move.
But he speaks the facts, because as a black person, if you reach for that phone, maybe your last call.
You mean
call.
Like Philando Castile?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
Sitting with his right to carry permit, not right to carry, his gun permit.
Yes.
And his gun in the glove compartment and in a right to carry state.
Right.
With his child in the car.
With his child in the car, so.
You remember what the baby said to the mama in the back of the police car?
Yes.
The baby said, "Mama, stop. Stop hollering. I don't want them to shoot you."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's horrible.
That
is horrible. You know, not to get off subject, on subject, you know, just this week there was a young lady picked up her kids from her family's house. And while her husband was outside, some people approached him and said, hey, look, you guys aren't welcome over here. You need to go. You need to get up out of here. And the young man said, man, I'm so glad you told me that. We're going to get our kids and leave. We don't want no problems. Mm-hmm. Him and the young lady get in the car. They drove off. They chased them, shot up the car with the kids in the car, and killed her on 83rd and Central and shot him up as well. And I just want to say that, you know, in our community, a lot of time we look at the police, and mm-hmm. I do definitely look at the police.
Yeah, we do.
But I want to look at something else that's killing black people as well that mm-hmm. we don't always talk
Speak
about.
Speak on it, brother. Mm-hmm.
So when we get to the area of 69th and Central where they were, 59th and Central where they were, there are people over there who don't like black people mm-hmm. and will approach them in a manner and tell them, you are not welcome here. Mm-hmm. And until the day that we're able to come on the air, off the air, but be able to talk openly
yeah.
and say that there is a pink elephant in the room
right.
and people don't want to address it, I think we're going to continue to have these problems.
Mm-hmm.
So an intervention, if there's somebody in the Jordan Downs and somebody in the Nickerson's and they're getting at it, we can go get Donnie and Hank, go mm-hmm. get Rico.
Right.
Hold on. We're
right.
going to go get Bow Wow. We're going to go get Kathy, mm-hmm. Lowdown. We're mm-hmm. going to get Big Mike.
Right.
And we're going to sit at the table until we get this solved.
Yes.
We could do that.
Yes.
In the Latino community, we cannot.
No.
There are people in Corcoran. There are people in Pelicans Bay. There are people in San Quentin who will tell them either they can or they cannot
right.
have a conversation with each other, but never have a conversation with us.
Right.
And I just want to put it out there and say that.
And that's sad that you would say that, brother, and bring that up, because in my community, I'm one of the black people that's fighting for the Hispanic community because mm-hmm. of what the presidency feel about you being in a country here
right.
illegal.
Right.
You know, and it's us black people that are fighting for them, and they need to understand
that. Well, you know,
the sad
truth for us, we're caught between that rock and the hard place. Our people are caught between that rock and a hard place, and it was done to us by design.
Yes.
See, because I remember, and I'm sorry to say it this way, their president telling them, yeah, y'all go over there and do those jobs that black folks don't want to do anymore. He said that. And when Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton came down to have a dialogue with him about something that wasn't suitable, because it was the same time they had released that derogatory stamp of a little young black child with the big lips and the busted up face. And yeah, but he looks like that, but he's a smart one in the group. But here you got a blonde Hispanic kid, a brunette Hispanic kid, they look all normal. But the little brother look, they had him looking, you know, derogatory, making our features derogatory and that same kind of thing. We as a people have been going through people making our image.
Right.
You know, all the way back to Jocko, all the way back to Aunt Jemima, making right. it an offensive portrait. You see, so that's what that cartoon character represented.
Right.
And, but I want to thank you, because of people, of you, my grandmother, my aunts and them, to keep reminding us as young black men and women that we just didn't get here without struggle,
right.
confrontation,
right.
many miles of walking in shoes that
mm-hmm.
were wore out, worn
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm.
I think in California, we never, and Skip may agree with me on this, we never been down south and had to come up with the terms. I remember I went to visit an aunt, and she said I went to buy her groceries, and I felt like the $400 I spent on groceries, Skip looked at like $125 worth of food.
Yeah.
And I questioned the white lady, and my aunt said, don't you ever come back
right.
and do that to
right.
again.
Mm-mm.
But we don't, us younger blacks, me 48, born and raised in California,
right.
mm-hmm. didn't understand the struggle until it was
right.
explained
yeah.
to me.
Oh, no, let me stop you. My people come from Jonesboro, Lucky, Louisiana, and they say the man at the corner had a black dog, and you know what that dog's name was.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And they asked him, why? Why'd you name that dog that? He said, because my whole life I just be wanting to call somebody that. He
wow.
said, so I got my very own,
wow.
and now I call him that.
Wow.
And now they 70-something years old.
Tell us his name. Tell him what it
He called that dog Nigger.
Yeah. I knew it. It was not nigger. I just nigger, needed you to say nigger. That, nigger.
Yeah. That was the white man's dog name. So when I say that, I want to go back to L.A. that there was a struggle growing up here. You know, I'm 53, you 48. So growing up here, these were our friends. Mm-hmm. The Latinos was our friends,
oh
right?
Yes. These were my partners, right? With them. He right. made his living. We worked side by side. My father spoke fluent Spanish, and he was proud of that.
Right. So I don't want to separate. I just want to talk about it and say that our friends have now
became our enemies.
I don't want to say they became our enemies, but there's a certain group that won't allow the healing to happen.
It's in the migration. It's in the migrants. They're the ones that have locked arms around each other and taken a defensive posture against our community. Right. And I'm not ashamed, but I will apologize. Anybody thinks they got an apology coming. But when that flood started and hundreds of them are swarming all over Slauson and Western by the Home Depot, coming in on the bus that day for work. The black man lost his day labor job. He lost his job. He lost his right to work in that. So the other
thing
that
came in. I wouldn't say he lost it. I would say he gave it up.
Well, I won't. No. No, no, no. So. No, well, in the time, it was such an overwhelming takeover that the thing that cost him his job was the pricing. I work for $5 an hour. Well, I live here. I got to work for $10 an hour. Well, let me have two of the $5 guys.
Right.
You see, so that's what I'm seeing cost him his job. The other thing, too, that hurt us that nobody seems to want to acknowledge is a language barrier.
Right.
You know, they posted signs in front of my home, say, summer jobs for teens, bilingual required.
Right.
See, so where do my kids go to work? You see, so it's not just fantasy. It's not just things we're harboring. These are things that actually happen to us. And to go from the friendly relationship that we always had with our Hispanics in Los Angeles, it changed.
Right.
It changed. They didn't change. The migrants changed our relationship.
Now, you know, in Watts, because we're speaking about Watts, that Watts has now become over 61% Latino.
Yeah.
However, the leadership in Watts, the names that we just discussed, the leadership, those who are coming for either the neighborhood council or whatever the leadership is predominantly black.
Mm-hmm.
I think Watts is the last, and Leimert Park, the last two places where blacks actually have a voice and a stand.
Yes.
And churches, we cannot lose our voice. We cannot lose our young black pastors. Mm-hmm. We cannot lose this because this is the foundation. My family, too, the Macedonian Church on 114th Street, my forefathers built that church.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, my family comes from Watts, 110th Street, Wilmington.
The oldest black church in Watts.
Right. So it's, and when I met the pastor there and I told him who I was, he said, oh, I know Alvernola. I know Oscar Neal. I know your family.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, I was really proud of that. You know, that you are new to this church, but you had to learn the history of it.
Yes.
So when I tell you where I come from, he knew that. So I think our history here in Los Angeles is definitely from Watts.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely,
it is.
Definitely
started
out of
there.
Watts.
We started there.
Whether you're from Compton, Inglewood, West Adams, wherever you're from,
Compton
we all come
became
from
the upscale suburb of Watts.
That's when you got a lot of money. You could move.
Yeah,
to
well, they built homes.
And then they moved
built
to Carson.
Yeah.
That's a good part
Speak
of Compton.
It,
well, it's kind of like what they did when we moved in. They moved to Inglewood, then they moved to the Valley, they moved to Hollywood, they moved out.
Right.
So we did the same thing. We moved into Watts, and, you know, the other ones that came behind us pushed us into Inglewood. So, you know, we
and
just
it's sad because as we speak in a Compton, Skip, I don't know if you guys realized it. I posted on Facebook, I was kind of hurt because I had saw where former Mayor Omar Bradley was once again convicted because he chose to run for mayor of Compton to represent people of color, black people.
Mm-hmm.
And I had actually invited him to come on the show tonight along with me and Pastor Murchison. And I talked to him and he was like, Mac, you know, if I'm not asked to turn myself in, I promise you that we will make it to Gang Talk Radio because there's something I need to tell the brothers.
Okay.
And he wants to come to Watts and hold a conference to let the brothers know about self-destruction.
Right. Okay.
What this gang environment is really, how it's really tearing down the black families.
Yes.
And it's hurting the mothers and our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I'm 48 and I got several kids and I got a son that just likes to wander the community. Mm-hmm. And I worry each day, Skip, when I'm going to get that call that, you know, somebody have taken my child's life.
My children are all, I'm going to tell them myself, my baby is over 30. I worry about him every day. Every day. He don't have to be 12.
No.
He just has to be breathing. And I'm fearful that somebody that looks like him or somebody in a uniform is going to take his life. And that's the thing that I think is missing in us as a people. We don't seem to be concerned about whether we survive or not. It's kind of like, well, I'm surviving. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm over here. I'm doing my thing. So if you're in trouble, stay away from me. If you're a problem, don't come around me. But I want to get you in this conversation because we were talking about things that we really need to be paying attention to that you actually are fully involved in. Did you talk about
yes,
that
ma'am.
A little bit? Actually, tell us what led you to do that.
Perfect. So let me just highlight a couple of things that I've heard already that I want to chime in on. I did a sermon on Sunday. It came from the book of Daniel chapter 1, which is a prophetic book that deals with a lot of the apocalypse as well as the consequence, the punitiveness of God. Brother Kendrick Lamar said that there was one thing that was missing from this generation of church, and that was that we're not preaching and teaching about God's vengeance.
Hmm.
And that he came looking for that, and when he did not hear that message, that his ability to stomach what the church had become today was no longer there. So he had to leave. And I can respect that. I can respect that all the way. So what we've been trying to do is look at what God is not tolerant of. Because a lot of the stuff that we tolerate, he's not tolerant of. He has no tolerance for. And so in Daniel chapter 1, around verse number 4, the Babylonian army has come in and they besieged Israel, taking them into slavery. For about 492 years, they
sound
are
like
in
that.
Slavery.
Sound familiar?
Okay, sound real familiar,
yeah.
Right? Okay, all right. For 492 years, Israel is enslaved, has been raped, has been robbed, mm-hmm. has been ensnared, has been demeaned, has been lambasted, has been scrutinized,
sounds familiar.
Has been marginalized.
Mm-hmm.
And for 492 years, this has been going on. Here's the problem that we don't necessarily articulate as theologians or Bible readers, that how in the world did Babylon get the ability to do this to God's people? God signed off on it. Mm. He signed the permission slip.
Mm.
Okay, because you can't do this unless God okayed it. Why did God okay it? Because she had turned her vision, turned her eyesight to look in another direction. Mm. And God was not going to compete for what was rightfully his people. He created them. They did not create him. So he said, I will allow someone to come in to cause your consciousness to come back. All right. When the enemy comes in, the Babylonians come in, this is what really, really blessed me. They come in to wreak havoc on these people of God, but it was where they went first. The first place that the enemy says, I'm going to steal, he didn't go to the credit union. So when he comes into the city, he says, I don't want to go to the bank. I don't want to go to the hood. I don't want to go to the car dealership. I don't want to go to the foreclosure auctions. I don't want to go to the educational system. So the very first place that the enemy comes in and starts stealing from God's people, watch this, is in the church.
Mm.
He said, take me to the church. Take me to the church. That's the first place I want to steal out of. Now, when he goes to the church, it was what he stole. This is in verse number 4, Daniel chapter 1, verse number 4, that was so pronounced and salient, because he didn't steal the tithes and offering. He didn't want it. He said, y'all keep that, because y'all ain't going to do right by it anyway. And it's not enough for what I really need. So hold on to that. Anytime the church only talks about money at the time of tithes and offering, you're out of order.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're out of order. You ought to be talking about empowerment and investment and how people might be able to grow beyond
just tithes and offering. Mm-hmm. Something wrong with that. And we got a lot of churches that build beautiful structures off tithes and offering, but don't build the people.
Like down the street.
My God.
Okay. Well,
I point at them and call them out by name.
I know, but look, we got a guy on the national news thing right now, Joel Osteen, the middle of that hurricane.
He would not open his doors.
No.
Until he got the pressure.
My God.
Yes, indeed.
And he's, because you know what? Scripture talks about false prophets, too.
Sure.
It talks about how many are called, but how many are chosen. Okay. And it also speaks about clay feet.
Yeah,
that's the one thing.
Right,
remember
kind of
when clay?
What that mean? Like
clay.
That?
Your feet are made of clay, not stone.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're standing on weakness, clay.
Oh, okay.
Not
okay.
Standing on
Greeks.
Solid rock.
That's right. I got
okay.
It. Took me a minute, but I got it.
Well, remember when Cecil Murray sat right here and said,
man,
how
powerful.
Stupid do you have to be to sit in that pew and not know that man has just got you here to get your money?
Sure.
How stupid do you have to be?
Sure.
So
he
when,
said the ego, too. He said the ego so far gone, the ego and greed,
yeah.
That the name of the pastor is way bigger than the name of the church.
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
Cecil was telling the truth, because
yes,
what
was.
Skip is paraphrasing here, he said the two things that have taken over the black churches. I'm not sure if he said black churches, but he did say churches.
Sure.
Ego and greed.
Yes.
Ego
yes.
and greed.
Yes.
And we have a perfect example of that in Harvey. We don't even have to get to L.A. yet.
Sure.
You know, in the middle of that chaos and mayhem, and you stand out away from it.
Right.
And believe it or not, Texas have a few very more than five mega churches.
Yes.
In the middle of that storm.
I was looking for other churches to step
up. If there
and
was
do.
A storm here, right here in L.A., and it was on Crenshaw, we wouldn't have nowhere to go. We couldn't go to be Christians on Crenshaw.
You tried to say we
center.
Have a few churches like
think,
that in the, right here in our own community.
You don't think we could go to the second floor and be in the balcony?
I don't think
right.
we could. I think it's a thing. How many real churches, how many real pastors open their door? It's just a few.
It's just a few.
So when I meet them, they're like a good mechanic to me. I want to hold on forever.
So this is why this young man is here today, because he has a right effort that he's putting forth, and that's really what I wanted you to get to.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Your actions,
yeah.
brother.
Because
your
yeah.
feet not clay.
No,
yeah.
sir.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
sir.
Right.
No, sir. So the other thing that the enemy stole out of the church, he didn't want the choir. He said, y'all keep that choir. Because what I know about Negro parishioners is y'all are emotional. So you will sing, but it doesn't matter unless he's listening.
Okay.
So he said, keep the choir. The only thing that the enemy says on record that he wants in Daniel chapter 1, verse number 4, you can cross-reference it, is he says, bring me the young men.
Mm.
That's the only thing I want.
Yeah, it is.
So maybe what we have to do is go back to the book and see that 492 years ago, there was a systematic plan that was placed in by the spirit of our adversary that said that the only way that we can completely take a generation of people and keep them crippled was to go after the young men. Maybe that's why right now in 2017 in these still struggling United States of America, we've seen Tamir Rice, Ezell Ford, Kendrick McDade, Michael Brown, Freddie Gray, Sandra Bland, and please, Big Mama, don't ever forget Emmett Till.
Out of doubt.
Because it was going on then.
Right. He was the first. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, he was the first publicized.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Emmett really stopped the, I'm going to use that word again, forgive me, the plethora of lynchings that was going on then. And that's a word my mom made me learn. Because I had to read the dictionary. Yeah, she was a teacher.
It means a lot of.
It means a lot of. That's right.
You know, he had a mother. Kind of reminds me of what you doing in your work, sister.
What?
His mother chose
to show
America.
Well, you know what?
Right.
They didn't want her to. They did not want
her to. See,
that's
that elephant
type stuff. Well, they don't
want
you to.
They didn't want her to. And she said, oh, no. The world's going to see what they did to my baby. That's
right.
What she said. The world is going to see what they did to my baby. Now, what mother is going to hide what they did to Emmett?
But you remember what you told me? He was like, Mac, I was about to retire.
Yeah.
And thank God that I don't know if it was Emmett Till's mother spirit that came into you not to give up
yeah.
on the men of this city.
Yeah.
Because Brother Skip here can only hold so much on his shoulders.
Yes, yes.
And thank God that he is one of the true brothers that's bringing these, whether we Crips, blood, yes. blind, blue, crippled, crazy, whatever we chose to be.
Yes.
He's a true man
yes.
under
yes.
God's care to bring us together.
Yes, yes.
Like the pastor sitting here saying, what the Bible had already preached.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right now, today, we're living it in existence, that what, the men are the
and
young
this
men.
Is a new army God is creating in us.
Sure.
He brought you back in your right mind.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Brought you back in your right mind. That's the essence and spirit of this show. Yeah. Folks that have been in the nightmare, back in their right mind. And so that's the grace. That's the forgiveness. That's the redemption right there. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You see, so we have a place for it. It's just, do you want it, yes or no?
Right.
Because it's become just that clear. If you don't want it, well, we have a place for you.
Yes.
Mm. See, and that's the message we as a people have to send. We're done with this violence amongst ourselves.
Right.
And when you look at Charlottesville.
Right.
Right. Right. And so that's exactly what we're trying to do at Tree of Life.
Don't say trying, bro. That's what y'all doing.
Well,
y'all
I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Don't say trying.
Because one of the latter parts of that story is that it was who the enemy sent in to take the young men. The Bible calls him the chief eunuch.
Mm.
The chief eunuch comes in to take other young men. Now, that's important because we understand that a eunuch is a man, but he's a man that has had his organ removed.
Mm.
So he's lost his ability to deposit seed.
Mm.
So he can make no impact or deposit in the generation coming because he didn't groom them. So what we have is a generation of black man that has become consciously a eunuch
mm-hmm.
because he can make no deposit in the generation before or after because his father made no deposit in him and his father made no deposit in him.
Man, you got me moving right now.
Okay.
One of the arguments I've been having is about that right there. When I'm very vocal on things that I don't agree with, even though society has accepted behavior and lifestyle changes that I think are not appropriate. And that is the one thing. So I've been called every kind of name there is because of my belief. And I believe that if I took 50 couples, a man and a woman, and left them on an island by themselves,
sure.
eventually they will grow, produce. But if I took 50 same-sex couples and put them on an island, that island would not grow and develop
sure.
people.
Sure.
It could grow and develop vegetables and
right.
fruit and animals,
right.
and they could farm,
right.
but people would never develop.
Sure.
Humanity would die with their death.
Humanity would die with them.
Yes.
So, because there's no seed being deposited for the next generation.
Sure. Yes.
But I've been told to shut up and be humble and accept things. And I just don't know how, but what you said just really, you know, that seed. If I call my kids right now, Carter and Cody on the phone, and ask them, how will you learn how to be a man? I could put them on speaker, and I know their response would be by watching a man.
Yes.
And who's the man you need to watch? You are.
Yes.
And I teach them that, and they know that, mm-hmm. that it's not their friends, it's not the WWE mm-hmm. or Steph Curry. They need to watch the actions of a man, and that's what I didn't do. I'm going to put it out there that I watched this dude take his shirt off, have a gold chain, and that's who I want to be like.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I thought that's what manhood was.
Right.
But there was no seed being right. deposited in me. My mother worked two jobs with three boys. There's clothes, there's food, you got a roof over your head, mm-hmm. that's it. And she provided the necessities, and I figured the rest of it out on my own. Did I make mistakes? Yes, I did.
Sure.
Yes, I did.
Sure.
I made it up as I was going along. I taught myself how to be a man. I was making it up as I go along. That's just like flying an airplane and right. building it while I'm flying it.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I'm
yeah.
bound to crash and burn.
Yeah.
You know, in fairness to our mothers, we give you the best understanding that we possibly can. But we've never had to walk in your shoes to actually have the physical strength. We've had to have it as women. But it takes a man to make another man of color understand what right. that challenge is and where that strength comes from to say, I ain't gonna take this. I'm just not going to take it. Whatever I have to do, I'm not going to take it. You see, and that's the strength in the black father. Yeah. He's the most critically missing element in our community right now. He's not being embraced. He's not being encouraged. We actually have a plethora of young women that actually had his baby and had the nerve enough to say, well, I don't need him. Right. I can do this by myself. That's well, right. Girlfriend, you should have never had that baby if that's all you think about the men of our community. Yeah. We're supposed to have children that we raise together to have a good life. And for you to have the arrogance to think, well, I can raise that son by myself. You know, I've seen mothers, and God forgive me, raise a pampered pooch.
Right.
Okay, and that's my favorite description of him, because he's no good for anything. Right. Except whatever you bring to him and lay in front of him while he's sitting there doing nothing. And right. Mom, you're spoon feeding him hand to foot. What's he gonna do when you leave this world?
Right. So
he's
I
gonna
think
be sitting there.
When I was growing up in Jordan Downs, my mom, a single parent mom, and I would go out and do crimes. Mm. And I would be at 76 Juvenile Justice Center on 76th and Central.
Oh, yeah.
And they used to have two black judges in there.
Uh-huh.
And he used to chastise my mother. And I used to tell him, sir, my mama would whoop me with a extension cord. Mm-hmm. But when she laid down to go to sleep when she was tired, I would hop out that window.
You'd hop out that window. Same thing he was doing.
People houses.
That's the same thing he was doing. Yeah.
So I told him, I just felt like you shouldn't chastise my mom like that,
because right.
she whooped me with a extension cord.
Right.
She did the best
you was not had no Hot Wheels. See, but we had Hot Wheel tracks we would leave out, so she would just pick up the oh.
And look, and in fairness, because my husband was raised by a single mother, you know, and she had to work in their homes, taking care of their kids and cleaning their houses, mm-hmm. and that's how she raised my husband. But, you know, here again, she could not teach him
sure.
what it was to be a man. Just as women, we want the best for you. We want you to be strong. We want you to have character. You know what I mean? But it's the man's input.
Right.
It's the man's input.
So
I really want to clear this up. I actually have seen mothers raise their sons like pampered pooches. Mm-hmm. He's too good to work.
Yeah.
He's too good
yeah.
to get his hands dirty. He's too good to do anything. And she doesn't see you have set that baby up for failure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You love him so much, he's too good to wash dishes. Really? Mm-hmm. You see, so
that's her baby.
He's
240 months
but
old,
look,
though. But
wait a minute. Mac was his mama's baby, too.
Right.
But she raised her baby differently. My children were my babies, too. But I'll be darned if they're going to be a pampered pooch. Oh, mm-hmm. No, you can't be a black man in this country and think that that's the...
And I think when my mom was in there, that's how I ended up turning to the game, to the homies.
Was it your friends?
Yeah, all our mothers were single parents.
No, no, no.
That's what
yeah.
makes it normal.
Yeah.
Listen to what he just said.
Mm-hmm.
If I go outside and ain't nobody in my circle of friends got a daddy,
sure.
mm-hmm. then we don't need no daddy.
We're in that club.
We're
right.
in that club.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's
club.
How we got yeah. started, and that's how we would,
yeah.
folks would be sleeping in their homes, and we would take them vice grips and screw that deadbolt right off while they sleep. Tiptoe in there in our socks.
Oh my God.
You know, clay feet with socks on so it would make no noise.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how gangs came about. And,
yes.
and we wasn't a gang. I think we was just more mislost kids
yes.
who didn't see.
Yes.
A
but that's
figure.
How it started. That's really mm. how it started. Like Skip said, you came out of the house, and some of those houses had drugs in them. Okay, they
oh,
had
yeah.
drugs in them, and I've had...
Well, they had guns, too. They had 38s, and they had shotguns
yeah.
back
yeah.
in my day.
Guns
yeah.
and drugs, and so some of the kids... And I'm talking about when the drugs captured the mom.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and mom's not really in her right mind, so the kids have been abandoned. Dad's not here. Now mom's off, drugged up. You see, that helped form... that group. It's like, mom ain't home. I'm hungry. The refrigerator's empty. She ain't coming back. Where is she?
Later on in life, that's my mother got on cocaine and,
mm-hmm.
and slick small liquor and
mm-hmm.
A little PCP, but
yeah.
my mother was murdered. I'm a loved one of a homicide victim. My mother was actually murdered in
that's
Watts
I didn't know
by
that.
A gang member. But the good know. Thing about it is my mother had gotten her life straight and she had
Before.
Got saved.
Mm-hmm.
And before she died, mm-hmm. she was right.
Yeah.
People, when I first got involved with Loved Ones and Homicide, people had expected me to be angry. I remember the psychiatrist mm-hmm. and the black psychiatrist telling me, Skip, it's okay to want to be mad. It's okay to want to go out and hurt somebody. But I said, hurt them for what?
Hurt them for what? Yeah.
It's normal. I said, I know where she is.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm hurt I don't have a mother, but I don't feel like I lost my mother. I feel like me and my brothers, four boys, we gained much more. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a brother just got out of prison doing 22 years.
I could imagine how hard that had to be to raise four sons alone.
It was. And really? Jordan Housing really? Project, where the grass wasn't green, it was hard.
Man,
the only game we played was with, we would steal fire extinguishers. And we had a program or a game called Get Out My Mama Yard. You know, in the project, Skip, they right next door. Units are side by side.
Uh-huh.
So if you cross that line, you would walk away Snow yard. White.
Right.
We would just take a fire extinguisher and just spray you Snow White.
Well, you know what? That used to be the same kind of rivalry that we had with our high schools. But once the drugs showed up, they stole our leadership. They stole our community. They put us on a different career path. I'm going to make my money this way, mm-hmm. and I'm going to get over this way. And then you better not come on my block because this is my territory and I'm controlling it. Mm-hmm. See, so it's a thing that evolved. And as a very wise man that's paid a great price in this madness said, it didn't happen overnight.
Right.
It didn't happen overnight.
No, it's systematic, sister. It's the negative progression was systematic, and the positive one has to be systematic as well. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I would say, and you know, you guys are talking about the church that the young pastor has, but you brought up Billy Ray. You brought up the pastor from years ago. Mm-hmm. So what happened with Billy Ray, even though I didn't know him, but what you guys just told me is that he created a system. Uh-huh. He created a system in that church that is still now living to this day.
Sure.
So the purpose of training is, in absence of the trainer, will the training prove to be sufficient? Mm-hmm. And in your case, brother, it is.
Yeah.
So I'm truly grateful for the work that you're doing in Watts and to be able to continue a legacy of the pastor, Billy Ray, who started that system. And that's what it is. We have to create systems mm-hmm. that well after we're gone will be in place promoting the same positive message that we're promoting now and bringing awareness. And we haven't even talked about the things that...
Yeah. But that's why I love him because...
I really want him to tell what he does.
Yes.
Okay, but we're look at Watts. You've been to Watts, Skip.
Yeah.
I think St. he's Lawrence. One of the very few churches that actually have Alcoholic Anonymous, mm-hmm. Cocaine Anonymous meetings in the church.
Yeah.
Okay. And I look at the black churches, nice on the corner, big tall 7-foot fence. It's open Wednesdays
and Sundays.
Choir rehearsal and Bible study on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Right.
Sunday for ministry.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But this brother here is open almost 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
that's what a church is supposed to be.
Sure.
Well, see, because look at all the counseling we need. You just had named three.
Right.
You left out grief counseling. Right. How come our churches aren't involved in grief counseling?
Well, that's why I brought him in and do Super Skip. Cause
So at the Tree of Life, we have a full-fledged wraparound service. I am a sociologist by trade. That's what I went to school for. And served in the United States Navy as a social worker. And so after I got out, I have a different approach to the scripture and to the ministry. I believe that the church is supposed to be the DPSS office,
mm-hmm.
That they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I mean, and when we look at the civil rights movement of the 60s, that's what the church was.
That's what it was,
I went to a HBCU, which is a historical black college university. The college I graduated from was started in the basement of a church. And mm-hmm. 78 other HBCUs were started in the basement of a church.
Yes.
So some of the programs that we have is a program called Dad's Back Academy, because what we believe is that the fathers who are just coming back from incarceration are going to have a hard enough struggle just getting that identity off of them.
Right.
So they're going to need some wraparound services. They're going to need to understand what choices are you going to make now. And so we provide a full gamut of those wraparound services.
But counseling. You know what? That's one of the areas that the majority of our churches don't want to touch.
Sure.
They do not want to touch anybody that's been incarcerated coming back for new life. And I'm ashamed to say it.
Sure.
A few churches that there was a thing that came around a while ago to try to help former offenders find work, and it was full of hope and promise, and that there would be funding if you would pick this up and, you know, pick
up
this
mission. It's a dog and pony show for money.
That's exactly what it turned out to be, because a few churches tried to approach it. I went to a few of their meetings, and my thing, they're talking up in the front, but I'm looking around at the faces in the room. Okay, and I see these looks like, oh my God, they're gonna come here, and it's almost like this.
It's just like the people on Sundays who won't take our water.
Oh,
so you know, we do ceasefire committee for the last 10 years. We've been doing a safe and sober summer water giveaway. 85% of violent crime, somebody's under the influence, the victim or the suspect. We don't know who it is, so we're going to give everybody water.
Everybody.
We're going to dilute the system of everybody. So when Tiny Killer and Baby Shooter roll up with the blunt and drinking Hennessy or whatever, they start laughing. Y'all got water? Give me the water. I'll take the water. They talk to us, tell us where they got their weed from, where they about to go, all that, right? But then the people, the ladies with the big hats, they roll their windows up, and they look, and they say, no, no, thank you.
No.
And then the men, too, the men who took their jackets off, but they still got on their suspenders and all that, they look and they, we all right, gone.
Yeah.
You know, they
or they don't look at
or
you.
Or they don't look. They turn their head or whatever. This one lady on Imperial Western, her daughter was reaching out to grab the water, and the lady said, no, we don't want. I said, young lady, just let me give her the water. It's free, and it's because of, she said, no, do a great job, you guys, but no, we're okay. We don't need it. And I'm just thinking to myself, what is the message you just sent your daughter?
Sure.
You know what? On Western and Vernon, I had a young brother in a nice SUV with his son in the passenger seat, about 14 years old, did me the same way. I'm standing in the street, looking in the window, shake him a ceasefire shirt, offering him the water. He gives me the wave off. His 14-year-old son is looking at me like,
how is he going to learn how to be a man?
That,
by watching a man.
His dad.
How is this 14-year-old going to learn to deal with people in the streets like this, like authority, like no?
And an old lady like me.
Right.
If I'd have had my cell phone, I'd have took his picture and posted him all over
Facebook. If I'd have had some ice, I'd have threw it in the window.
Well, you know, that was the one thing that I resisted on those corners, was throwing things at him, because, God, they wanted to let you know they didn't want to see you.
Right.
And for this man, it's like, you look like you're successful. You're sitting here in a nice ride. Your son's sitting behind you. We're standing on this broke-down corner trying to spread a message for all of us, and you give me the wave off right in your son's face. It was like this.
But I think Skip and I would consider our mothers were successful.
Yeah.
Because they took care of us.
You had
but
good mothers. You all just
out,
didn't listen.
You know, we didn't listen.
That's it.
But like this man, his child could end up out there with some homeboys.
He could. He
in
could.
In a situation where, yeah, my daddy works at LAPD or the post office or DPS or.
Didn't we have
an
LAPD officer have his son rob a nice scale?
Oh, yeah.
Dress store.
Yes.
In somebody else's neighborhood a few years ago.
Yes.
I mean, dad, law enforcement, retired after 30 years.
Yes.
But before he retired, his grown son takes his girlfriend out in somebody else's neighborhood and robs that store.
Oh,
right.
Yes.
Okay. So just like Stinson Brown's son, you know, going to college and just wanted to go to a party with his friends and
in
he was killed. Just recently, last week as well, the day of the fight, Saturday night, young guy Peanut was killed, right? So I'm getting the phone calls, and when I got the phone call from his older brother is the USC Chief of Police, John Thomas.
Oh, wow.
And he was like, Skip, I raised Peanut. You know, he said, he said just recently, a year and a half ago, he moved on to go stay with his dad, which is their same father. He said, but prior to that, he said, Skip, I gave him everything. I gave him a path where he could have went into anything he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're not exempt as well.
No.
They're not exempt from their children, their brothers, their family members being murdered, homicide victims, just like Chief of Police Bernard Parks, his granddaughter.
His granddaughter.
So, you know, so just think about this. When people are coming out on Sunday evening late afternoon, it's hot, and we're passing out water. That is not the work of the enemy. That is not coming to, that's not the eunuch. That is not in Daniel 4 where we coming to steal the young people. We're coming to do the work of God, and the people who claim to be the children of God are the ones who reject us.
Yes.
Where is that at in the Bible?
That's that level of consciousness, Brother Townsend. That's that level of consciousness. Brother James Baldwin said it best. He said that the reason why he would not support the black church was because on Sunday morning, the black church was the most segregated place in America. And I don't think that the black church today is segregated based off of race, because we've got black ministers that have Hispanic members. I've got Hispanic members. We've got black members that go to white pastors. The problem is it's a conscious divide. Mm-hmm. We have piety versus reality. Mm-hmm. So people who believe that they're self-righteous versus the people who live in a real unrighteous world. Mm. And so we got this divide.
and we are in an unrighteous world right now. From and the top down.
And people who don't know it.
Yeah.
So you
remember
get
I
people,
said that.
Right.
Well, they're dead people.
Yeah. Yes.
They exactly. don't even know they dead.
Don't even know.
Spiritually dead.
The dead people around here are starting to wake up, and we need to because...
But do you think, sisters, it might just be too late with them waking up?
No. No. See, because you know what? The majority is starting to take back what the devil stole from us.
Yes.
Okay? And it's starting with our young people. It's like, just shun the idea of it. And I asked thee, really, this was my thought. I was going to bring some grape juice in here and a blunt and set it on the table. Okay, and drink the grape juice and raise the blunt, and spill the grape juice and raise a blunt for all the homies that have died in this nightmare.
Yes.
See, do we
Sister,
understand? Yes, I was.
What week you going to do that? Because I'm going to film it. I'm going to go Facebook Live.
You going live?
Yeah, I'm going to go live on Facebook.
But she keeps it real, though.
Look, anybody want to join me?
She keeps it real.
We can do that on any corner. Spill that wine, raise that blunt for all the homies that have died across our whole entire community, from Inglewood to Compton to San Pedro to the 10 Freeway. We got a lot of territory and a lot of dead folks.
Well, Skip been in this longer than me, so that, we had over 20,000 brothers, Skip.
Yes.
Well, I know the two numbers that stand out in my mind in 1992 and 1993.
Yes.
When in 1992, the same year that we came together because of LaTosha Harlins and Rodney King Beans,
yes.
It was over 1,200 homicides that year.
Wow.
In 1993, the Mexican Mafia, the Mexicans came together and they stopped killing each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we still had 1,300 homicides that year.
Right.
So in the 2 years that were supposed to be years of historic peace between Bloods and Crips and the Southsiders, the Hispanics, why do we have so many homicides and now we're under 300 a year now,
but
we have more officers. You know, back then we had, you know, not even close. We had like 6,000 or 4,800 officers for LAPD. Now you got 10,000 officers.
And most of them are in Watts.
Right. And like you say, most of them are in Watts.
Yeah.
And they're also doing CSP training for Harvard Park, for Jackie Tatum Park, which is the same thing. So now what you're going to have is a police officers put in a community, and they're supposed to bring peace. So the resources that they get to invest in the community is law enforcement. Mm-hmm. They come in not to bring programs to help our children, but enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they bring in enforcement. They are investing in enforcement.
A hostile enforcement. And it, you know, we don't have a successful community relationship with them anymore. We've been, Skip and I and other folks have been trying to work on building some kind of communication where we can get a better understanding. The thing at Nickerson with the basketball player should have been handled as a community relation, not a big ruckus that ended up with busted windshields and stuff
false
like that.
False allegations.
Yeah, false allegations. It shouldn't have been any of that.
This man with a church that's actually got boots on the ground and willing to help people and help our black men to get their GED.
Yes.
And you can go get tested for STD without going down to the health department and seeing 15 more of the homies who going to go out and spread your business around.
No, they gonna go live on Facebook, man. I'm here at the health department right here on 103rd Central, and the homie in here, he itching. He got his cream, though.
Well, you know what, too, and something I else want, because Don Wu and I bumped heads last week, but we were really trying to get the same thing, and really what I wanted to clear up I may have used the wrong word when I said civilian review board, but what the intent was, we need a community control review board so we can talk to the witnesses, we can get their statements before we go run down to the police commission or take that information and build that grand jury that Dawu said we had a right to. So,
Sister, we're going to run out of time. We got to get the last words from the young pastor.
That was a fast hour.
Yes, indeed. Say the name of the church and the address, brother.
Tree of Life Missionary Baptist Church, 9702 Holmes Avenue, Mondays and through Friday, Dad's Back Academy. Come on down. We pay you when you go through the program. I don't know too many programs paying you to go through it. Free program. We have Tuesdays and Thursdays, our health clinic. You can come get your medications filled. We diagnose you. We can treat you. That's Tuesdays and Thursdays, 3 p.m. And then starting in November, we have free GED and diploma for those that need them. You can come down to the church, WhatsApp, get your high school diploma GED.
That's what's going on.
That's great. Right that's there. What our church
that's
is
a church doing. That's open during the service. Mm-hmm. Max Shelley, brother.
I just want to thank you guys for this hour, a moment, hour piece for Watts. To the people of Watts, I want to say the struggle's not over.
Nope.
Dialogue is still in existence. And with God, we're going to make things possible.
That's right.
And I got something to leave the people with, too. We got to come together. We got to stick together. We all we got.
That's it.
And we keep our head to the sky.
Yeah. That's right. God bless you, community family. Thank you for listening. And we'll be back next week.
See, I got it.